Good morning, everybody. Today's shiur is sponsored by Helen Gross in loving memory of her husband, Alex Gross, on his yahrzeit. He was a good friend and a student and a wonderful, wonderful human being. So we're going to learn Le'ilu Nishmato. The shiur that I'm going to say today is one that I hold very precious. It's different. It's a dramatic departure, I would say, from tradition. And I think that I think it's true. In the past, when I said it, and to people who I said it today, they say, no, it can't be. And then the honest ones would come back a day or two later and say, you know, you might have a point. I want you to walk away knowing that I do have a point. This is uncomfortable, but this thing is just not. Wait a minute, I may have fixed it. Yes, I did. All I had to do was turn the screw. What a beautiful thing. Modern technology. I turned it, I screwed it in place. We now find ourselves in the mourning period of the Sfira. And we're going to go to the source. Why is this a period of mourning? So source number one is the famous story of the students of Rabbi Akiva. And up at the top I say, the topic of this year is going to be, were they sinners or were they saints? Famous Gemara in Yevamot. The Gemara says the following. Amru, they said, the rabbi said, Shneim osar elef zugim talmidim hoyu lo l'Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva had 12,000 pairs of disciples. Migivat ad Antipras, extending from Gevas until Antipras. I believe that these are two places in the Galil. V'chulon meitu b'perek echod, and they all died during one period. And this is the classic sentence, the phrase, "Mipnei shelo nahagu kavod ze l'ze," because they did not treat each other with respect. I would not have translated that way. I'm not sure yet how I would translate it, but maybe you'll figure that out by the time this year is over. Because they didn't treat each other with respect. And the world was left barren of Torah. Until Rabbi Akiva came to our rabbis in the south and he taught them Torah. And this is not the reason why I believe that Givat and Antipras were in the Galil, which is in the north. There are other indications that it was in the north. But he had to leave the north and he came to the south and he taught Torah to a number of students. Now, the Gemara before this really was talking about the fact that somebody who taught students in his youth should also teach students in his advanced years. I don't want to use old, you understand? Because you never know. It may be late on in life when you're teaching people and your greatest students may emerge then. And here it is, Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 students. And he taught Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Okay. V'heim heim. Those five students that Rabbi Akiva taught toward the end of his life, they are the ones who upheld the study of Torah at that time. Tana, the Tana stated, Kulam meitu mi Pesach va'aratzeret. They all died from Pesach until Shavuos. In that period between Pesach and Shavuos, that's where they died. Amar Rab Chama Bar Abba said, V'iteme, and those who say that Rabbi Akiva Bar Oven said it, Kulam meitu mitorah, they all died an ugly death. Mahi, Rav Nachman said, Askara. Askara is mentioned a number of times. It's a form of diphtheria. It's something that attacks the throat. It's a kind of asphyxiation. That's the Gemara. Everything depends on this Gemara. I have a number of questions on the Gemara. Number of questions. If you turn over to the other side for a moment, we'll deal with the questions. Let me tell you, there's been so much said about this Gemara, so very, very much. And I don't understand the Gemara. Everybody focuses on Shalonogu Kavod Zebazeh, the terrible sin of the students of Rabbi Akiva that they didn't conduct themselves respectfully to one another. All right, let's assume that that's what it means, okay? The way everybody looks at it. So I have the following seven questions. Question number one. Why doesn't the Gemara say 24,000 students? The Gemara says 12,000 pairs. Now, 12,000 pairs equals 24,000. Why didn't they say 24,000? Wouldn't that have been much simpler? Number two, it stretches the imagination to believe that all the students were sinners with not a single one righteous, not a one. 24,000. Every last student of Rabbi Akiva was a sinner. Every last student. I'm not Rabbi Akiva, and I think I had a few students over the last 60 years or so that were not sinners. Rabbi Akiva, not a one. They're all sinners. Yiddish, they would say, Dus leikt sich auf den Seichel. Ze mit yashev al adat. This makes sense. 24,000. 12,000 pairs. All sinners. Number three, wait a minute. They weren't even creative in their sinfulness. Every one of them did the same Avera. Come on, let's jazz it up a little bit. This one does one Avera, the other one does another. A colorful, harmonious blend of Averas, but no, we don't have that. Everyone, the same Avera. 24,000, 12,000 pairs, all a bunch of sinners. Wow, the same sin. I can understand the sin that gives somebody a great deal of pleasure, all right? But I don't know what kind of pleasure they got over here, especially here. I'll tell you, as they think of it now, if they didn't treat each other with respect, that means Reuven didn't treat Shimon with respect, and Shimon didn't treat Reuven with respect. They're all not respecting one another. It's no fun anymore. But what happened? Number four, and they all died, were punished at the very same period in time. Isn't that interesting? God's wrath came out against them all at one time. Number five, the hallmark, the motto, and the great teaching of the Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, was V'yohavta l'reyacha kamocha. The great message that he said is Ze klal gadol b'torah, a great rule of Torah is love your friend like yourself. This is what the Rebbe was teaching them. Rebbe Akiva was the worst failure in all of history. 24,000, all of his students, rejected the principle that was Rebbe Akiva. Make sense? Rebbe Akiva, V'yohavta chamocha, is a great message of Torah, and they all rejected that sublime principle. It means Rebbe Akiva was the greatest failure who ever lived. Now, if you go back for a moment to the first page, the other side, so number two, I just want to give you an example. Oh, I think it's going to be this Shabbos anyway, third perek in Pirkei Avos, a whole series of Mishnayot that are Rebbe Akiva, and this is one of them. Hu haya omer, he used to say, Rebbe Akiva used to say, Chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem, beloved is man who's created in the image of God. Ki bar yisedo no dat lo, a greater indication of God's love is that God let him know, no dat lo shenivra b'tzelem. God told him, man, you are created in the image of God, shenema. As it says in Torah, Ki b'tzelem Elokim asa et ha'adam, God made man in the image of God. Chaviv in Yisrael, Yisrael are beloved, shenigru bonim lamakom, they're called God's children. Chibu yateiru nodat lehem, shenigru bonim lamakom, God showed his love for them by telling them, you are my children, shenema. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, the pasuk says, you are children to God, your God. Chaviv in Yisrael. The third, the first is that all of men are created equal. That was the first. Now Chaviv in Yisrael, Israel are beloved because they're called God's children. And then something added to Israel over and above the rest of mankind. Chaviv in Yisrael shenitan lehem klei chemda. Israel is beloved because to them was given the precious vessel, Torah. Chiba yateda nodat lehem. God showed his great love for them because he let them know what a great gift he gave them. Shenatan lehem klei chemda. Shebo nivra olam, the Torah, which were the blueprints for the creation of the world. Shenema, ki lekach tov natati lachem, I gave you a great gift, Torati, my Torah. Al tazovu, do not forsake my Torah. You hear the way Rabbi Akiva talks? This is Rabbi Akiva who possesses a love for all mankind. He possesses a special love for his people, Israel. They are the handiwork of God, the ones to whom Torah was given. And his 24,000 students who learned that Torah all reject these teachings of Rabbi Akiva that we live by until today. Difficult, I don't buy it. Number six, let's go back. This is a very, six and seven are very, very difficult questions. All right, I'll concede for a moment, hypothetically, all 24,000 were sinners. Only hypothetically. All 24,000 were sinners. All sin the same sin in the same period of time. Is there any source in Torah that punishment for not respecting a colleague is death? Where? There's no such thing.
Hashofet kol haaretz lo yaseh mishpat.
The judge of the whole world should act unjustly, kill 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva for an aveira for which there is no punishment of death? What's happening over here? And then, of course, the coup de grâce, the final question. The truth is, every time I say the final question, a few years later, I come up with another one. But all right, for today, this is the final question. Why is there a national period of mourning for sinners? They sinned. They got what they deserved. Let's just rub them out and forget about them. But all of Israel, for more than 2,000 years, is mourning for these sinners. That staggers the imagination. We mourn for sinners. In sum, what I'm saying is, this Gemara is very, very difficult to understand. Unless there's another way to understand it. Is there another way? So I'm going to give you some background in order to build up to the ultimate answer. Next page, that's number 3, we have something that's familiar to all of you. It's from the Haggadah. Ma'ase b'Rabbi Eliezer, b'Rabbi Yoshua, b'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, b'Rabbi Akiva, b'Rabbi Tarfon, shahayu mesubim b'Bnei Brak. The story is told of these great rabbis who spent the Seder with Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't say it clearly. Of the five, the only one who lived in Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud. Rabbi Tarfon, I believe, lived in the Galil someplace. Rabbi Yoshua may have been from Sachnin, Pekin, towns up in the Galil. And they're all by Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. And that night, they were talking about the exodus from Egypt all night, until their students came and said to them, Chabotenu, our rabbis, Higiyaz man kriyat shma shel shacharit, the time to read Shema in the morning has arrived. Now, I want to look at this very seriously. There are all sorts of jokes that they made, make about this story, Only in Bnei Brak will the students come tell their rabbeim it's time to say Kriya Shema, Okay. We're setting that aside. We're looking. This is very serious. This is very serious. So here it is. These rabbis from all over the country, they come to Rabbi Akiva Seder. Rabbi Akiva, at this point in time, happens to be one of the younger members of this group. And they're there at the Seder, and in the morning, the students come to tell them, Higi azman kriyat shma shel shachris. What they didn't know. They were afraid that their rabbeim wouldn't know. The frumis come and tell them, hey, come on, it's time to say Kriyat Shema. Well, that doesn't really make sense. There's obviously something more here. So the next, number four, this is a selection from Haggadah with the explanations of Rav Soloveitchik. So here it is. This really appears in different forms by different authors at different times. Magidim, this is the Rav speaking, Magidim have a beautiful interpretation to this paragraph. They say this refers to the Pesach that preceded the outbreak of the insurrection on the part of Bar Kochva against Rome. At that period of time, Israel was suffering terribly. indescribable suffering under the heel of Rome. And they knew that they were not going to survive it, that they would have to rise up against Rome. They would talk of Yetziat Mitzrayim, but it was not only the story of the past, what happened to Paro and us so many thousand years ago. It was the story of the present and what was going to happen tomorrow. They're not only talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim, they're talking about their situation. And basically, according to many, they came to plan the rebellion. The cover that they used was that they're coming to Rabbi Akiva for the Seder. Because it would have been strange, a rabbi from here, a rabbi from there, the great leaders of the Jewish people, but it's all under cover of Tziyantev. Everybody's going from one place to the next. So they all come to Rabbi Akiva because they knew that Rabbi Akiva had the ability to lead Klal Yisrael in battle, and they're planning it. They would talk of Yitziat Mitzrayim all the night. It was a long night, and the Bar Kochba revolt was planned at that Seder night. They studied Yitziat Mitzrayim not only as an event of the past, but also as a clue and a key to the future. The point that the Rav wants to make is, and I've made this point a number of times in a number of different ways, this retelling the story of the Exodus cannot be devoted to the past and retelling the past. It has to be related to the present. Just as we say later on in the Haggadah, in every generation, they want to destroy us. And this generation today is no different. And the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hands. But these five rabbis were not going to fight. What the five rabbis needed was that their students agree to go out to battle. And they were given that charge. When they came in the morning and they said, Rabbeinu, our rabbis, the time for reading Shema in the morning has arrived. This is a code word. Kriyat Shema is accepting the yoke of heaven. The yoke of heaven exclusively and no other yoke. It means the time has come to tear off the yoke of Rome. This is a message. They're not just coming to tell their Rebbeim, you got to read Shema. They're saying we are ready to fight because the time has come to cast off the yoke of Rome. So that there will be only one yoke upon us, which is the yoke of heaven. There is another pshat that I have in this, but that will stay for the end of this year. All right, so we have an insight in what our God is telling us. In number five is the great, powerful Gemara, the death of Rabbi Akiva. Amru, the Gemara before this had said that Rome had decreed that no one may teach Torah, and Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah out there in the open. He was not frightened of Rome. He defied Rome. Amru, they said, Lo hoyu yomim muatim, it was not even a few days, Acha tafsu l'Rabbi Akiva, until they arrested Rabbi Akiva, v'chavashuhu b'beit ha'asurim, and held him in prison. V'tafsu l'papus ben Yehuda, at the same time the Romans also arrested a fellow by the name of Papus ben Yehuda, v'chavashuhu etzlo, and they confined him next to Rabbi Akiva, So Akiva and Pappus are in jail together. Amalo, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Pappus, mi viachalakam, Pappus, who brought you here? Amale, Pappus replied to him, Ashrecha, Rabbi Akiva, fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, shenit fastal divrei Torah. You were arrested for teaching Torah. Oiloi le Pappus, woe to Pappus, shenit fastal dvarim betelim, who was arrested for meaningless things. It seems he was suspected of being involved in a murder of the daughter of one of the Roman governors. He was not Ashayna Yid, Pappus Ben Yehuda. And he tells Rabbi Akiva, fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, you're here in jail because you're teaching Torah. Oilei le Pappus Ben Yehuda. What did they arrest me for? And then it says, "B'shor shahotziu et Rabbi Akiva lahariga," when they took Rabbi Akiva out to face his execution, "zman kriyat shema haya." It was the time for the reading of Shema. "V'hayu sorkin et besaro b'masrikot shel barzel," and they were combing his flesh with iron combs. As he's going through this terrible suffering, Rabbi Akiva is accepting upon himself the yoke of heaven. He has no complaints to God whatsoever. Amrlo, Talmid of his students, said to him, "Rabbeinu, Ad Kan, our teacher, even to this extent, so great is your faith in God that now you're dying. And he's Mekabel Ol Machu Shamayim." Amar lahem, Rabbi Akiva said to them, "Kol yomai hayisi mitztayer al posik zeh." My whole life, I was concerned, I was troubled by this verse. It says, "V'ahavtot Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha." And from b'chol nafshecha, with your whole soul, with your whole life, even if belief requires that I give my life, and my whole life I was troubled by it, will that ever happen to me, that I will be sentenced to death, and at my death I will say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Afilu no telus nafshecha, et nishmatcha, even if it takes your soul. Amarti, I said to myself, Rabbi Akiva tells the students, Mataya voli adive akaimena, when will the opportunity come to my hands that I may fulfill this verse? Fiaksha shaboli yadi, and now here it is, I'm being put to death now. Lava kaimenu, I'm not going to fulfill it, I'm not going to accept old Malchut Shamayim. Hoyomar be echad, he said the word echad a bit longer than usual, ad sheyotzaton nishmato be'echad, until Rabbi Akiva died with the word echad on his lips. Yotzas abaskel v'yamra, out came a voice from heaven and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, sheyotzaton nishmatcha be'echad, that your soul departed with the word echad on your lips. Amru Malachi Asharis Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels said before the Holy One, blessed be He, Zu Torah V'Zu Schara. Here is the great Rebbe, the great teacher of Torah, and this is his reward? Zu Torah V'Zu Schara. Mimtim Yadacha Hashem Mimtim, oh, to be among those who die by your hand, Hashem, rather than die by the hands of the Romans. Amar lahem, chelkom b'chayim, their portion is eternal life. Yotzos abas kol v'yomra, ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, sh'ato mezuman l'chayei ha'olam haba. This is the great story of the martyrdom of Rabbi Akiva. The martyrdom of Rabbi Akiva. Jews throughout history have died with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, on their lips. Ah, now we're ready to answer the seven questions. Last page. Here is a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara is talking about three words in the Torah. V'chai ochicha imach. You'll see it right away. Your brother shall live with you. For the lesson that was taught in the following braisa, this is it. Shnayim shayu mahalchem baderech. Two people who were traveling along the way. Ubiyad echad mehem kiton shamayim. And one of them had in his possession a flask of water, a canteen of water. Two people are on the road. Im shotim shnehem metim. If they both drink, if they're going to share the water, they're both going to die. There's only enough water for one to make it out of this desert. If they both drink, they both die. Vim shote echad mehen. And if only one drinks, magia li yishuv, he will reach a settlement where there is water. He'll make it to water. What do you do? What a moral dilemma. And remember, it said biyad echad mehem. One of them has the water. What does he do? Does he keep all the water for himself and watch his friend die? Or does he share the water and they both die side by side? We should never be in this kind of a dilemma. So what do you do? Darash ben Petura. Ben Petura preached concerning the above case. Mutav, it's best. Sheyishtu shneim v'yamutu, that they should divide the water. They both drink and they both die. Val yida echad mehem b'mitato shel achavero, so that one should not see the death of his friend. We'll share it and we'll both die. That was the halacha. Ad shebor Rabbi Akiva v'limeid, until Rabbi Akiva came and he taught, v'chai ochicha imach. The Torah says your brother shall live with you. What does it mean, live with you? Rabbi Akiva said the following, chayecha kodmin l'chayei chavecha. Your life comes first. Your life comes before the life of your friend. You have water? Drink it. You have no responsibility to give it to him. Chayecha kodmin. Torah does not command martyrdom. Nebuch, that's the way the chips fall. You have the water, it's yours. Drink it. Arrive at safety, your friend will die. Remember, we're talking about a Rabbi Akiva, to whom every human being is precious, to whom every Jew is precious. But here it's a moral dilemma. And a moral dilemma, you have to give an answer. And he does not accept the answer of Ben Petura, that they should both drink and both die. It's a waste of a life. It's a waste of a life. I would imagine Rabbi Akiva telling Ben Petura, you know what you just did? With your psak halacha, you are condemning a Jew who would otherwise not die. You're condemning him to death. Who gave you the right to do that? Because it's uncomfortable to watch my friend die? But you're also a Jewish life. You also have infinite value. That's the situation. Chayecha kodmin l'chayei chavercha. Your life comes before. Chayecha kodmin l'chayei chavercha. This implies that your own life takes precedence over your fellow's life. Thus, the owner should hold all the water for himself to ensure his own survival. That's all you have to know. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. We've established already that it seems pretty clear that the students of Rabbi Akiva the 24,000 or the 12,000 pairs died in battle against Rome. Listen very carefully. You know why they died? Shelo nohagu kavod ze bazeh. Lo nohagu kavod ze bazeh doesn't mean they did not show respect to the other. They did not conduct themselves with their own kavod one to another. Any one of them could have felt, as the Rebbe himself had said, my life comes before your life. But you know what they understood? That could be true in times of peace, but in times of war, an army that's going to go out to battle with every soldier thinking, my life comes first, they've lost before they went out to battle. You're able to win in battle when you know that the struggle is ours together. And together we stand, and together we fall. When the rabbi said that the students of Rabbi Akiva lo nohagu kavod ze bazeh, they did not act toward one another with the kavod that I deserve. My life comes first. Our Rebbe said that, but we don't understand what our Rebbe meant. Our Rebbe did not mean that in times of war. In times of war, we're all one. All of Klal Yisrael is one. We're all one life. I'm reading Lo Nahagu Kavod Ze Bazeh not the way everybody else learns it. They did not go out into battle with the idea, my life comes first before my friend's life. Would they have gone out to battle that way? It would have been lost from the very beginning. There's a time when Rabbi Akiva Paskin Chayecha Kodmin L'Chaye Chavercha, that's when two people are out in a desert and one has water but the other doesn't have water. But when Klal Yisrael is fighting for its very existence, there's no such thing as my life comes before my friend's life. I'm ready to give my life for Klal Yisrael just like he's ready to give his life. Completely different understanding. Now, if you take a look at it this way, all of our seven questions, all of our seven questions are answered. Why did the Gemara say 24,000 pairs? Because they wanted to focus on the fact that the two chavruses who went out together went out, I'm with you and you with me. Just as we learn Torah together, we're going to fight together. And if what it means is that we will fall together, that's exactly what we're going to do. Questions 2 and 3 and 4 are no question at all anymore. It stretches, it stretches the imagination to believe that all the students were sinners and not a single one righteous. None of them were sinners. They were all saints. They were all kedoshim mutahodim kizohar arakiya bazidim, Jews that had given their lives to Klal Yisrael. No sinners. That, of course, answers the last question. Why do we mourn? We don't mourn for sinners. The mourning period is because those Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were great heroes. You know what Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim? You know what they approximate? The 23,600 who gave their lives for this state, whom we will memorialize tonight. Kedoshim utahodim kezor arakia mazidim. Not sinners. It's not that they all committed the same identical sin. They all fulfilled the same identical great mitzvah of fighting for Klal Yisrael. They were not rejecting Rabbi Akiva of Yohavtel Reacho Kamocha. Chaviv in Yisrael, beloved as Israel, who are God's children. That's exactly what they were fighting for. And that's exactly what they died for. Therefore, number six is also no question. Is there any source in Torah that the punishment from not respecting a colleague is death? There is no punishment here because there was no sin here. It was all mitzvah. It was all mitzvah. And then, you know, I had a number of people that were, what do you mean? You know better than all the mashgichim and the chashivas. I didn't answer the question. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's been learning that it's a big sin. It's a big sin. So I said, all right, no. So I said, you know what? What's the worst aveira I can be doing? Being melamed schus on 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. That bothers you? That I find 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva innocent of any sin. That bothers you? You're all hot and bothered and upset about that. That's what worries you? But you're perfectly happy to sit back and say, yeah, there are a bunch of chaitim, paishim, vei. Now we understand exactly why it's a period of mourning. It's a period of mourning that we, in our generation, should embrace it even more than in all previous generations. Because we have the same kedoshim right here. Jews for 2,000 years didn't have young men who fell in defense of their country. For 2,000 years, we had Jews that were just cut down and killed and slaughtered. It's a schus. Here comes, I think, my biggest chiddush of this year. The students came to their rabbeim in the morning and they said, Rabotenu, Higi Azman Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis. So I said, one interpretation I said is, it's the time to remove the yoke of Rome so that we accept upon ourselves the yoke of God. More than that, the students are saying, if we're going to have to fall in battle saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we're ready for that. That's what they're saying when they say, Higi Azman Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis. If that's the price we're going to have to pay, we're going to pay it. Just like the Rebbe Akiva. Yotzeso Nishmoso Be'echad. Yotzeso Nishmoso Be'echad. His life departed him with the word Echad. Don't witnesses say it about Roy Klein, who threw himself on a grenade in order to save his soldiers? He yelled out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and the grenade blew him up. So I have a completely different view of the whole Gemara, the Gemara in Yevamos. I don't believe for a moment that the Gemara ever meant, Shelo Nagu Kovod Zeh B'Zeh, that there were 24,000 sinners, that all of them had absolute respect. Remember how I'm reading it. They did not conduct themselves and take for themselves the covet that Rabbi Akiva says belongs to them. Chayecho koidma, my life comes before your life. When does my life come before your life? In time of peace. If we're out in the desert with enough water for one of us, but when we're out there fighting for Klal Yisrael, your life, my life, all the same. We fight together, we stand together, we die together if necessary. And say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I believe that this pshat answers every one of the questions answers every one of the questions. So therefore, we don't even have to be troubled by, is there any source in Torah that punishment for not respecting a colleague is death? There was no avera here. Rabbi Akiva was not the greatest failure in the world. Rabbi Akiva was the greatest success in the world. How many times did I say, I told you this story. A few years ago, when we were living up in Migdalim, Lag BaOmer came along, and the whole world went to Miron, to the, it was about 20, 25 minutes away, and I told my wife, no, we're not going to Miron, we're going to Reb Shimon ben Yochai's Rebbe. His Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is buried in Tveria. So while everybody went northward to Miron, gold goes south. Didn't Rabbi Akiva do that? Actually, he went down to Rabbeinu Shebedorom, and there here comes the great miracle. Miracle number one was that we found the kever. It is so difficult. It was before the day of Miss Ways, who can tell you exactly how to get there. I got lost. Till finally we made it to the kever. And I didn't want to say Tillim by Rabbi Akiva's kever. What I wanted to do was read something to him. And there it is, Mamish, I'm sure a Malach had a Tanakh right next to the kever. And I opened up the Tanakh to Sefer Zechariah, the great psukim that Rabbi Akiva said to his fellow rabbis when they were standing on Har HaTzofim and they were looking down at Har HaBayit and they saw the desolation and they cried and Rabbi Akiva smiled and they asked him, why do you smile? And he asked them, why do you cry? And they tell, here it is, the place where the Shekhinah dwells is now in ruins. So he says, that's why I'm smiling. He says, if the prophecy of destruction was fulfilled so precisely, that I am certain that the prophecy of the reconstruction of Yerushalayim, and he quoted a pasuk in Zechariah chapter 8, Od Yeshvu Zekeinim Uzekeinot, the elderly men and women will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. And Yeladim v'yeladot misachakim b'rechovoteha. And there will be children, boys and girls, playing in the streets. So I read that to Rabbi Akiva, and I told him, Rabbi Akiva, if I'd have a can of spray paint, I would go through this whole country, and I would paint on all the walls, Rabbi Akiva Tzadak. Rabbi Akiva Tzadak. Rabbi Akiva was right. You were right. You saw well. So well. Nobody's going to convince me ever that Rabbi Akiva was the great failure who 24,000 of his students died because of a sin. I don't believe it. I believe that my pshat is getting very, very close to the truth and not it being the truth. We have to exonerate the students of Rabbi Akiva. We have to remove the blame and the shame and the guilt that has been cast upon them. It's not true. It was never true. But our rabbis use fascinating codes. Just as the term Rabbeinu Higia Gizman Kriyat Shema Shulchakus, Rabbeinu, our rabbis, the time for Kriyat Shema, the morning has arrived, is a code. It doesn't mean seriously that they came and said, hey, Rabbi, you know, according to the Magen Avraham, Kriyat Shema is in 5 minutes, according to the Vilna Gaon, it's in about another half an hour. That's not what happened there. That's not what happened there. It's one of the great statements like, don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Give me liberty or give me death. That's what the students were saying. Give me liberty from the yoke of Rome. And if I can't get that, I'm ready to die with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad on my lips. That's what happened there. That's the pshat in the Gemara. That's what the period of mourning it is. And that's exactly what we will begin to mourn tonight at nightfall and all of tomorrow. And by the way, I also something else occurred to me this year. I was learning over a piece of Rav Soloveitcher that I learned 1,000 times. Oh, 1,000 times. And all of a sudden it struck me, you know, you can... He describes the idea that there are certain demands that the Rabbeinu Shlomo makes for us, and we owe something to him. He's talking about what is it that we do that gives us the right to life, maybe contentment, maybe happiness. Don't we have to pay God for it? So he says, yes, we do have to pay. And he says, one of the payments is to be able to remain silent, not to ask too many questions of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Why this, why that? Beware, he says. You're going to start asking questions of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Oh boy, can he turn around and ask you many, many questions. No, no, no. What we do is we listen, we obey, even when the pain is searing. And the example that he gives, every time I read it, I get a little choked up. A family has come home from the funeral of a beloved one. It's been a terrible period of time. They sit down, they eat the meal. The sun is beginning to go down in the sky. And somebody walks over to the avelim and says, in another hour, it's going to be Yontif. Get up, wash, change your clothing, go to shul, and fulfill the mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha. Can you imagine the strength that's required for that? From avelus to v'samachta b'chagecha. And he brings the famous story of the netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Voloshin. It was the beginning of Shavuos. He's in the Yeshiva with all of the students, and he says, come, let's dance. They started dancing. Dancing with abandon. In the middle of that dancing, a messenger appears with a telegram from the local telegram office. The Netziv reads it, puts it into his pocket. For the next 2 days, Tzchutz Lawrence, remember, 2 days Yontif out there, the Netziv is full of simcha. After Havdolah Moitzo Yontif, he bursts out in uncontrollable fit of crying and tears. The telegram had said that his younger sister had died. The strength? No, 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 now it's Yontif. Yontif, v'samachta b'chagecha. Yontif is over, all of the emotions come out. I think it's very, very beautiful that we have Yom HaZikaron, that's the Erev Yontif, Avelus. And then, no, 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 there's a reality. Get up. It's Yontif. Going from one into the next. They seem to absolutely clash. Of course they clash. But that's what the halacha says. We have to be capable of doing that. There's a time for mourning and there's a time for joy. They did it well. You understand? And I think as I read it also just a few days ago by Uriel Litzur, who was a great writer, said that with all the complaints that they had about Yom HaShoah in the month of Nisan and all the rest, the end is that it turned out to be an extremely successful arrangement. Everything, the whole involvement with Shoah the week before, the March of the Living, everything that you read, everything that you see, to go from that into Yom HaTzmaut is an unbeatable combination. And Baruch Hashem Shezachinu that we're here, and Chag Kosher, Chag Sameach to everybody. Yes. Somebody tell me what she's saying. Your problem is not that you're English, it's that you don't speak English. Up north of what? I thought she meant from the Galil. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Did they die from a plague or from war?
Oh, that's a fine question. That's a fine question. And I avoided that because I have my own feelings over there. The term askara, this diphtheria, is used very mysteriously in a number of places in Talmud. And that may very well be a code word as well. It's not a medical diagnosis. Maybe it means those who died by the sword. Figure out, you know what? You can figure out anything you want over there, as long as it makes sense. But it's definitely a code word. It does not mean that there were 24,000 deaths from diphtheria. There were 24,000 deaths on the field of battle. And when the Gemara introduces it by saying a terrible death, it was a terrible death on the field of battle. So whatever you're going to figure out about it, that's perfectly all right with me. You can even let me know it, but do it in writing so I'll understand. Okay, Chag Sameach, everybody.